All right, thank you so much for joining. Such a schuss. I never had so many people, so you might be looking, oh, like 100 people. Like we're basically on par. You know, around between the 3 and 5. So, you know, hopefully maybe a few more people will come in. It's a big schuss. I will take no offense if you never come back after today either. Really take no offense. Last week, I don't have such a brilliant mind. I'm not so smart. And last week I had a question on the parsha. I'm not going to go into the question, but I had a question. I thought it was a very good question. So there's this Robin who lives up the hill, you know, close to me, or Binyamin Jacobson, who's a massive, massive Talmud Chacham, and a massive Baal Midos. Like, imagine like Rishama and Ramachus in one. That's basically him. He really, really, very special. I had a big schuss of my first or second week in, we made Aliyah 3 years ago or so. I met him when I was walking just randomly, and we started talking, and I've taken a liking into him, and he deals with the annoyances of my questions. But I had a good question. I was like, wow, that's a really good question. I don't have the answer. So I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. Maybe it's not such a good question. You could say it's not such a good question. And he said to me, never thought about it. You probably have it all the time. Like, oh, it's not a stupid question. Ah, it's a dumb question. I don't have to ask it. And he said, and his words have really stuck with me already 5 days ago, if you ask a question and you want the answer, by definition, it's a good question. Anytime you're seeking for anything, it's a good question. And I'm like, oh, Taka, I guess that's true. And really, like, I can't get that out of my mind. And you know, I was talking with Rav Shimshon, and he was giving me some life advice. And he was saying that when you look at most people, which is almost like sad and pathetic in a way, but probably very true, is a lot of what we are is what happened when we were very, very young. Like, the development of what goes on, you know, we'll say to like, basically to like you're 8 or so, is really, and then, okay, whatever, you know, depending on where you go to school, maybe you pick up more knowledge or less knowledge, you know, that's on your high schools and yeshivas and colleges, I guess. But what we are is really defined by what we are at a young age, and a lot of our fears and a lot of things. I think about, why do people not ask questions? Like, you look around, like, there's two types of people in a classroom. Those who ask a million questions because they're not afraid, and those who never ask a question. They never really understand what's going on either, but they never ask a question. Because one time when they were in, you know, one time when Joey was in 4th grade, he asked a question. He was so, you know, the teacher said, what are you asking that question for? He's like, now he's thinking, why am I here? But he's like, what are you asking that question for? And he got so afraid from asking the question, he never wants to ask another question for the rest of his life. Which is terrible. You know, we're all seeking. If we have questions, we need to ask so that we can get our answers. But it's all on that. But why do people ask questions? Because when they were young, when they were in 2nd grade, their teacher, and they asked, you know, why is this so tall? It's so tall because, you know, I mounted from here, 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 and it got so tall. And then you're like, what a question, amazing, you know? And it goes into, like, the whole, you know, physics, and, you know, you could be an architect, an engineer, like, you know, how everything got built up. And then you never have that fear, and you're never afraid, and then you'll constantly be asking questions. And I think for myself, like, when I was young, I don't know, when I grew up, no one had dogs. I don't know, you probably all have dogs now. It seems like it's a trendy thing. I didn't have any friends who had a dog growing up. But now, like, I know from, like, my 3 years in yeshiva, everyone has a dog. So
not me, I don't.
Baruch Hashem.
In fact, three
dogs
at home.
Okay, okay.
Other animals, but not.
All right, but I didn't grow up in that world. I'm terrified of dogs. Like, you know, I see...
That's why I don't have a dog.
I see... We did a hike over Bein Hazmanim with my children. And, okay, we did 2 hikes. One was better. The other one, like, we were really, like... I don't know. We were probably target practice for anyone who was shooting. Like, I don't know where we were. I don't know where we were going. And, like, always, like, then you see, like, these stray dogs. They're, like, I'm, like, terrified. I think in Israel, they're less scary. But I'm, like, terrified of dogs. And when I was 7 years old, I got off the bus... And all of a sudden, these 3 massive, massive dogs come running at me. And I ran into someone's house. And, like, as they closed the door, like, they're salivating, waiting for that door to open to eat me. And as to that point, like, I'm to this day afraid of dogs. 26 years later. Now, probably bigger than a dog. You probably just kick them and, you know, they'll just go away. But we are. We're really defined by what our past is. And it's something we need to try to change that. I always look at... Right? Someone might say, like, someone asks someone, are you a Baal Tshuva? So, and then the person will be like, no, you know, everyone's a Baal Tshuva. But, you know, in the standard way of how we look at it is if you grew up not affiliated to Judaism, not affiliated to Orthodoxy, and then one day you become affiliated, now all of a sudden you're a Baal Tshuva. But I had my my wife's best friend married a Baal Tshuva, and we had them over in Chanukah. You know, say that now, I think, like, having people over in Chanukah was a massive chiddush. People, that wasn't a time when people really had people over, and they came over. And just hearing his story of being a Baal Tshuva, like, I'm just, you know, and I'm always, like, envious of Baal Tshuva. It's not because, like, I wish, like, I could go back in time and, you know, eating a cheeseburger. I happen to think that sounds disgusting to me, but, like, or, like, really doing whatever you want. Like, not even for, like, oh, just life is Efkervelt, and, like, that's why I want to be a Baal Tshuva, but more, my envy for a Baal Tshuva is, you know, that they actually picked to be religious. It's pretty crazy. To me, it's pretty crazy. Judaism is restrictive, and the fact that they would do that, but the fact that, like, every day, like, they're not, whatever their past was, like, you know, whenever they were in, like, the University of Wisconsin or, you know, Maryland or Rutgers and or Michigan, doing whatever they want to do with no consequences, the fact that they're leaving that, to me, it's just like it's insane. It's crazy that they're saying I'm not defined by what I was. Like at 7 years old, it was told I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to marry Christina. I'm going to do this. I'm going to okay. Well, we won't marry Christina's. You know, whatever route was that my life had to take and was defined at an early age in my life, that I'm willing to say that's not what I'm going to do. That's not my approach I'm taking. I'm making a change. I'm making an audible. I'm changing. I'm changing the play. You know, they say, are you a Patriots fan? They say Russell Wilson audibled when he threw the interception to Malcolm Butler. He audibled. It was supposed to be to Marshawn Lynch. He made an audible. Okay, sometimes in life we don't want to make audibles. But the fact that, like, my life was defined in a certain way and I'm saying I'm going to do something different, to me has always spoken. And I think a lot about, I think to myself, I'm married, I have three kids. When I was 17, I was a 12th grader in high school. Would I trust that 12th grade Mark Merrill to be married to someone and to be fathering three children? So the answer would be absolutely not. I would not trust that image at all. And a lot of times as you go through the year, and I'm not, whatever all of your plans are for next year, pursue them, have a lot of haswacha. But what goes on and you hear throughout the whole year is, so you don't hear it so much in Leva Torah, for better or for worse. Like, wherever you're going next year, it's not really told so much you shouldn't go there. It should be told more. But when you go through that whole process of, oh, I have to go there next year, because when I was 17, and whatever my kesher and connection to God and Judaism was, I made a conscious decision, I want to do X. I wanted to be a sportscaster when I was 17. And my college guidance counselor told me, which it didn't really speak so much to me, except, okay, whatever. He said, like, you know, it wasn't even so much that you'd have to work on Shabbos that got me. He told me, like, you know, like, if you're a sports guest, like, you're probably thinking, like, you know, the main shows, like, you know, like Mike and Mike. Like, I'm going to be Mark and Mark, you know, ESPN radio, like, while everyone's driving to work at 6 in the morning. Like, that's going to be me. Like, you know, like, you're going to be covering, like, college football and lacrosse and, like, Kentucky. Like, that's, like, how you start, like, working on Friday nights. Okay, the Friday night thing, it probably didn't bother me as much. I'm like, Kentucky, lacrosse. I'm like, no. Like, I'm, like, analyzing, like, Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady. He's like, no, you're really not doing that. So, like, and we are, okay, whatever. So I ended up not becoming a sportscaster. But, you know, you make your decisions in 12th grade, like, before you know everything. Like, so now, like, let's say you're going through a process. What should I do next year? Where do I want my life to be? And often, we're held back. We have a handicap. We're held back that I went to high school for 4 years. You know, some places are more studious. And I went to MTA. You know, Shia could have said if when he was learning. Like, it's not really, like, you know, they don't sell, like, the, you know, they, if you go to YU, they did really well. But that's, like, their standards. Like, it's not such high expectations that, like, you know, it works for 4 years, like, the plan to go to, like, Columbia. Now, like, you're in, like, a shell shock of a life that now you need to make a difference. You need to make a different decision. So you worked for that for 4 years, and you're like, no, my 17-year-old version said that this is what my life has to be. My life has to go in that point of view. It can never gear anywhere else. And then the question, okay, maybe you guys are more mature than I was, but the question you have to ask yourself is, well, did I trust my 17-year-old self if I was, like, fathering three children today? Okay, maybe at 19 you shouldn't have three children. But, but in any event, would I trust that image of myself? Or moreover, why is it that – because at 14 when I came into my mommy's for the first day, they said that, like, if you go to YU, you're a failure. If you go to Chanabe, you're a failure. But if you go to – to Princeton. Like, you know, you're the guru of all gurus. I can't get that out of my life. But it can't be that way. We have to always, on every day, we need to evaluate. And I see that for myself with learning, with my marriage, with the raising of my children. I'm not necessarily one who should be emulated in any of those categories, but I can't, if I was to say, like, you know, when I left Shana Bet at Leva Torah, I was this, and that's where I want my learning, that's where I want my parenting, that's where I want my my Shalom bias to be. It would be a big flop. And I don't mean Texas Hold'em flop. It would be a big, big flop. It couldn't be, my expectations couldn't be that. I have to constantly be reevaluating, and I can't look at myself as, oh, this is what my life had always geared. Like, life is about transition. Life is about changing and being open to, okay, things are a little different now. I'm seeing things a little differently, and it's not a negative thing. It's not a desecration of what my 4 years in high school were. It's a reality check that now I want things to be different. And I think whatever you're going to decide, but really with everything, but always in life is to, we can't look at things that this is what I have to decide. Because when I was, I'll ask someone, you want to be a doctor? Yeah, why do you want to be a doctor? Because when I was 7, my parents had to be a doctor. To be a doctor, okay. Are they doing the next 12 years of school for you? No. I'm like, okay, so maybe you don't have to be a doctor. You could be a doctor, you could not be a doctor, but it can't be that it's just, oh, when I was 7, I made a decision. And I don't say this because sitting in this room and working as a fundraiser for Yeshiva is necessarily more fulfilling than being a sports show host. I mean, it is more fulfilling. Maybe probably less fun, but it is more fulfilling. But it can't be that because when I was 9, I liked my wife would say this, like when she would watch games, she's like, oh, you're really good. Like, you always say what they're about to say. I'm like, yeah, because, no, but it's just, they're not good. Because they always say the same thing. I know where it's going. Like, it's really, like, you know, it's a lack of creativity. But, you know, it can't be that, oh, that was what I wanted to do, and that's how I had to, you have to, in every stage in life, you're going to be defined. Now, the stage for, you know, also for you, the stage is, what is next in life? Like, hopefully, I mean, it's not a good thing, in general, whatever you decide, it's not a good thing if you're, like, not even considering, like, whatever the plan was, like, it should be, always should be, like, a little bit of evaluation and looking at it differently. But with everything in life, like, I don't have to do this because that's what I decided when I, you know, in 12th grade when I met with Rabbi Huff. You still there?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'm good at, I'm good at name dropping. Good. Or when I met with Rabbi Schlosselberg and, you know, whatever it might be, him I know is still there.
You know anybody from Idaho there?
I don't know anyone from Ida Crown. Chicago. Just being too cold to get me out of it. But whatever it was, it doesn't have to be that, you know, whatever that was in 12th grade that I decide, like, that's where I have to be. But it has to be, like, where I'm standing today, what is the best decision for me to do? And we should all be successful. I mean, I guess we'll conclude with it. I'm still afraid of dogs, so we haven't. I haven't gotten out of that, and a lot of it is that I am defined because I was chased when I was a young person. But there's definitely a lot of aspects of my life that I look at very differently than I looked at once upon a time, and I don't like that whole idea that, oh, because I said that, even more like. And a lot of people, like, I'm not going to get into, like, you got to do it with your family, you got to do it with your family. But I signed the contract because I signed the contract at that point, like, not knowing what the contract meant, that, oh, I'm only coming for 1 year, or I'm only doing this, or I'm only doing that, or I'm going to be a doctor, or I'm going to marry this girl, I'm going to marry, like, it doesn't end. Like, our life is, so much of our life's already been determined when we were 8 years old, but you're not 8 years old. You know, you're 18, 19, 20, you're living your lives, you're living the next part of your life, and live every day as is new, and not because when I was sitting in, you know, wherever I was in 10th grade, this person said that I have to do, I have to do X, and I even, for a lot of people I know who, they audibled midlife, or whatever you want to call it, like, they dated someone in high school, and we're getting ready to marry them, and then they married someone, they ended up breaking up, married someone different, and their life is very different. It was, I have to go on that path, but that wasn't, you two weren't on the same path. You were basically, you know, you were going on a path, you were going to Australia, and she was going to Antarctica. I have no idea if they're near each other, I assume not. You were going on totally, totally different, you know, sides of the world. Like, you weren't meeting halfway. It wasn't the proper thing. Okay, but then 9th grade, you told each other you loved each other, but you didn't know what that meant, or you said you were going to do this in 10th grade. Okay, like, you know, you have to make a shift, because that was what was appropriate. And for everything in your life, you have to, at this point, it's about what's best for you. And it's not because when I was 15, I thought this was best for me. We think of things very different. Now, it could be all of you could be much more mature than I was, but I think the important thing to keep in the front of your head is, would you have trusted yourself last year to making really, really, really important life decisions and raising a family right now? If you think no, because right now I'm a very different person, I would trust myself much more now, so then every decision that's been made in your life from that point and last year doesn't necessarily need to be where our lives are going. All right. Shkar, thank you very much for coming.